possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world. Points of interest along the trail. And offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's going to be critical for me to find somebody that can organize and structure and set the table, particularly early in the week. I've been around a number of guys that have called plays in the past, and I've seen the potential pitfalls that could arise as you're coaching the entire football team and you can't get to watching as much tape early in the week as you possibly could. So it's going to, the offensive coordinator position is going to have to be somebody that not only I trust, but will be extremely detail-oriented, organized, and structured to set the table, and also willing to work late nights.
That was the part that stood out to me right at the end there. Hour number two coming at you on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Anthony Herron. Got Alex Kuhn on the other side of the glass for me throughout the evening here. A couple hours to go, and that was the voice. Voice you will continue to get more and more accustomed to. Leading your Chicago Bears, that was Ben Johnson, Bears' new head coach. And he was answering a question specifically about what he looks for in an offensive coordinator. I thought it was a well-timed question, a well-intentioned question, because we knew coaching hires would be on the way, and I suppose that answer from Ben Johnson, rather telling about his hire as a 28-year-old OC, Declan Doyle, is the guy who will have the job title of offensive coordinator. So for what that means and just where things sit on the whole with the Bears, let's go out to the Circus Sports Illinois hotline where my guy Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times joins me on The Score. You can download the Circus Sports app today. Patrick, what's happening, man?
So Ben Johnson wants somebody who's going to stay late, but he hires somebody who, for all we know, Anthony, may still have a bedtime. I don't know how that's
going to
work.
I like it. That is very – see, normally we hear the ageist thing going in the other direction. Like, who wants to hire 73-year-old Pete Carroll? But when you got a 28-year-old OC, yes, you are setting yourself up. I mean, I guess he can just barely rent a car at this point without having the extra fee associated with it. So that's something to look forward to.
All I know is that he has a tremendous education from a tremendous university. That's all I know.
I mean, how much better can it get than being educated at the University of Iowa, like both myself and my producer, Alex Kuhn, were? So, I mean, we know he's got to be amongst the very elite. So remind me, because I know you've been here for a minute. Now, you're not one of the elder statesmen on the beat, but how many years have you been on the Bears beat now?
Well, I'm old enough that the new offensive coordinator technically could be my son if I had had a lot of fun as like a sophomore in high school. So, no, this is I got here for the first Mark Trestman year. So This is the fifth different coach I've covered, and sixth if you're counting Thomas Brown. And I've seen two playoff appearances and zero playoff wins. So it's been going great.
So in that time, and you didn't grow up in the Bears angst, you know, like some of your brethren and sistren on the Bears beat. So I do get the impression that does allow you perhaps a bit of perspective that may not always be there from some of the other folks who've just like been wallowing in this Bearsness for so long now. But from the amount of time, man, you've been at it for a minute with the Bears, there's a lot of sentiment that this process felt different and that the organization is moving into a different sort of version of itself right now. What are your observations along those lines?
I think now that they got the guy that everybody in the world would have gotten if they were the Bears, that we can look back and say, yes, it was a different new process. And it could signal something new. In the moment, though, I mean, I know people around the league who were sitting there going, what the heck are they doing? You know, why in the world are they talking to 17 coaches that we know of? I mean, that real number is probably somewhere around 20. In that sense, it wasn't that different than the last time around when the Bears interviewed, more than 10 general managers and more than 10 head coaches. But you know what? The fact that they were able to move as quick as they did, the fact that they were able to fire Matt Eberflus, who, by the way, Matt Eberflus was a coach at my alma mater, by the way, as long as we're going back and forth on that. the fact that they moved on from in the middle of the season is something that was obviously very new. The fact that they were set up to move on Ben Johnson the minute that he became available, I think is new. And I think that should be very encouraging. How much of that is Kevin Warren? How much of that is Ryan Poles? Is an interesting question. I don't think any of this gets done without George McCaskey giving it the okay. So I think he gets some credit too. Yeah, it feels like something new, but you know what? I seem to remember watching 5 episodes of an HBO documentary in August that told us that everything was new and different and bright too, and that didn't really work out.
No, it did not work out for the Bears this past regular season. And structurally, you know, between having, you know, the head coach answering to the GM, the GM answering to a team president, having an ownership group, family, whatever, having ownership to answer to, on the surface, it doesn't necessarily seem like that structure is that unique in the NFL. You've got both a GM and a team president. From folks you're talking to and just the way you cover the league as a whole in different ways, does the structure of the Bears, that there was some concern that that would end up being an impediment to a coach who would have the options that Ben Johnson has here, but that turned out to not be the case. Are you under the impression that the Bears' structure is sort of just kind of par for the course, or is there anything about that that became a hurdle they needed to work beyond?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's par for the course. Ben, of course, wanted to know how much say he's going to have in, you know, assembling his roster and just kind of picking the right guys. And he, you know, walked away really confident that he could work with Ryan Poles on those issues. You know, the reason this was even a talking point at all is because when they fired Matt Eberflus and held a press conference the following Monday, Kevin Warren spoke so much that you wondered whether Kevin Warren thought that he was the one making the hire here. And even though he said the right things in the moment, that Ryan Poles was coming back and that he was going to be empowered, just the optics of the whole thing were so bad that it left a lot of people around the league wondering. And, you know, from what I understand, the interviews that the Bears had, not only with Ben, but with other coaches, that, you know, they were pretty clear that, you know, you're going to work with the GM, not with necessarily, you know, the president or the owner. And you know what? That's what coaches want to hear. Coaches want to hear that they can talk football with the football guy. And Kevin Warren's been in the NFL for so long, I think that people presume that he's making football decisions. He's not. He's making business decisions, overarching decisions as the CEO of a franchise. And I think the coaches were assured that there would be enough distance there to make them feel comfortable.
For Ben Johnson himself, first time with the big whistle, first time as a head coach, but at least he's got a leg up on some of the other recent play callers the Bears have had, where he has legitimately and successfully called plays on offense for several years now before getting this opportunity with the Bears. what are some of the things that stand out to you, positive and perhaps even some things that amongst all the glowing reviews we're hearing about Ben Johnson that may strike you as noteworthy from a concern perspective? What are the early returns that you're getting specifically about Ben Johnson as a head coach?
I think the positive is that if you were going to pick an offensive play caller maybe in the last three cycles, he's probably the most intriguing among all of them. And it's because of what he was able to do with the Lions. It's because, you know, of his age and his lack of experience, there's, you know, a thought that, you know, what if this is just the tip of the iceberg? You know, the negatives are the same negatives that were there for Matt Eberflus and for Matt Nagy and for even Mark Trestman, who had been a head coach but not at the NFL level. You know, if you haven't done it before, you just kind of never know how it's going to turn out. And, you know, Brian Daboll at the Giants, I think, is a fantastic example. He is somebody who was, you know, the hot coordinator a couple of years ago and had, you know, a really good season. And they went in the playoffs, I believe, lost to the – or they beat the Vikings, I think, something like that. But he, you know, he didn't round out into a coach that was the envy of everybody in the league. In fact, I think that more – of these play callers than not kind of wash out within 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's the concern. The concern is he's never done it before. And you just kind of don't know until you see it. And then especially if you compare him to Mike McCarthy, who I think would have been a really solid choice here. And if you compare it to Pete Carroll, who would have been, you know, an exciting, solid choice. I think you have to wonder, you know, how much of this projection is going to come true. And I wrote about this at the start of the search, and I think it's a really good point to make, that the Bears, you know, with the exception of John Fox, the Bears throughout their history, literally for 100 years, have bet on assistant coaches to grow into the head coaching position. And there's something about that building where, you know, it doesn't really happen. and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody beyond Lovie, you know, and George Halas, obviously, where you can look at them and say, you know, they had never done it before, and they came here and they proved that they could do it. Everything else, I think, is up for debate. And boy, I mean, that's been a century now.
And we're going to play some audio from Ben Johnson's agent, Rick Smith, when he's on the station earlier today. And he's kind of been making the rounds a bit in the media, talking about the process the Bears went through and the options his client had, and the Bears being his top choice. The success the Bears are hoping for on the field, do you feel like the fact that this is year one for Ben Johnson, and Caleb is young, but this is now going to be year four for Ryan Poles. So how do you see that balance of what the expectation should be for the Bears in 2025 in the deepest division in football?
It's never too early to start making predictions. I think in the paper yesterday, I had the Bears going 9-8. And the argument I have is just, you look at their road schedule, and their road win is the Raiders, and everything else is probably a loss if we sit here right now and just go by the book. And that's okay. I mean, you know, what is it? The Ravens, the Eagles, the 49ers, like there's some really good teams on their schedule, but you know, we'll see where it stands when they start the season. Expectations wise, you know, they're not starting over here. They've got Caleb Williams in year two. They have a couple of really good skill position players. And if they can add some offensive linemen there, I think it is very reasonable to expect them to contend for a playoff spot, and at the very least. So I don't think he's going to have a lot of runway here. I think, you know, if he gets off to a slow start, I think the Bears are going to hear it. And you mentioned, you know, Ryan Poles is a reason why. Caleb Williams, big picture, is a huge reason why. You know, he's going to start next season as behind, at the very least, behind Jaden Daniels, but probably behind Bo Nix, maybe even Michael Penix, in terms of what people are expecting outside of Chicago. And if Caleb doesn't get it turned around a little bit, I think that pressure is just going to magnify on everybody, Ben Johnson included.
Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times, my guest here on The Score. And the coaching staff that's now being formulated more and more, the Bears made their official announcement of all the coordinators, of course, Dennis Allen and Declan Doyle, as we talked about a bit earlier. Richard Hightower returning in his role as special teams coordinator as well. Is it safe to say that Declan Doyle is the name that surprises you most out of those three?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that given that Ben will be the one calling plays, and, you know, we heard Ben describe what he's looking for in a play caller, and I'm not sure that who they hired at offensive coordinator was terribly important. I think that, you know, when you look at Dennis Allen may have his chance to run half the team here as somebody who used to be a head coach in two different places, not a very good head coach, but a head coach, and somebody who is really one of the sharper defensive minds in the sport. I don't think it's that different than when Matt Nagy came in and was really, really smart in keeping Vic Fangio. I think that there's a hope there that the dynamic is the same, and that you've got the old grizzled defensive guy who takes care of business on his side of the ball and allows for the new head coach to not only worry about the offense, but to kind of grow into his role as the leader of the entire team. I think it was really important for them to get an assistant who had been an NFL head coach before. Because you know what? Matt Eberflus didn't bring one. When they hired him, Ryan Poles didn't insist on that, and he didn't bring one. When Matt Nagy was hired, Brad Childress was kind of an offensive consultant sort of guy. He had been the former Vikings head coach. And then I believe Mark Trestman didn't bring one either. So this is new ground for the Bears. You'd think that it's something that everybody should try to do, is to pair somebody with head coaching experience with a first-timer. But for whatever reason, the Bears have not done that, at least with the initial coaching staffs of their head coaches the last couple of cycles.
And overall, Dennis Allen in getting to run the defense will certainly be the most experienced coach who's had a variety of roles and, like you mentioned, been a head coach a couple of times now. Is that enough experience, in your opinion? Do you feel like there should be, especially on offense, maybe another sort of sage, wise, older man to be able to just kind of help Ben Johnson along the lines of some of the things that he may run into that he just hasn't come across before in being a head coach for the first time?
Boy, it couldn't hurt, you know? Yeah. And I wonder, you know, you see these, you know, kind of offensive, you know, pass game coordinator jobs and run game coordinator jobs and kind of these, you know, Thomas Brown was one last year. These positions that don't really coach any one position group, but is more of a high-minded job to help organize things. You know, I'd be really interested, if I were him, in hiring somebody with experience in that role. You know, when they interviewed David Shaw, both for the head coaching position and for the offensive coordinator job, I respect the heck out of David Shaw. I think David Shaw would make any room he walked into a lot better for it. You know, I don't know if there's a fit for him on this staff, you know, beyond, you know, that coordinator job that he didn't get. But boy, somebody like that would sure make a ton of steps, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm a big David Shaw fan myself as well. So I could certainly see where that would just enhance the room, because that's just kind of the impact David Shaw seems to have on rooms that he walks into. So I'd agree with you on that one. The quarterback position itself, and having Caleb going into year two, he did seem legitimately excited about the idea. Even before the Bears had hired Ben Johnson, he seemed excited about the idea of working with Ben Johnson. You got to see him on the hoof and in person with his new haircut and his long trench coat. What were your impressions of Caleb's reaction to the Bears' new head man?
And the cast on his throwing hand.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, he was thrilled. And, you know, he was someone who, you know, on locker cleanout day, you know, he was asked about Ben Johnson, and he said, you know, I was watching the game last night against the Vikings, and he ran this play at the 10-yard line, and, you know, it was a pass to Jahmyr Gibbs, and broke down the play and then explained exactly why Ben Johnson was so smart and what intrigued him so much about this. And in that moment, you sat there and said, boy, either the Bears have circled Ben Johnson as the guy, or Caleb wants to make damn sure that they're going to. And, you know, the fact that he has been so vocal in his admiration of him, I think is really important. You know, nobody wants a 23-year-old to make the decisions for the franchise, and a 23-year-old shouldn't. But the fact that he's excited there is just another reason why this hire is great. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I went to Detroit before the Bears' second game against the Lions, so in the middle of December, in the middle of the week, and I asked Ben Johnson about Caleb Williams. His eyes lit up about Caleb Williams. And, you know, he talked about hearing the ball whistle through the air when you're on the same field as him. You know, both of these guys have admired each other from afar for a while now. And, boy, I think if you're a Bears fan, you can't be anything but thrilled that you get a chance to see, you know, what could happen when they team up.
Yeah, I mean, you get previous cycle You get the number one overall pick. You choose the quarterback everyone wanted. Then you replace the head coach with the head coach everybody wanted in the following year. So there's a lot of youth and excitement that's there at Hallis Hall to be nurtured. Now, Ben Johnson, one of the things that he seems to be indicating is that he recognizes this is a team that will need, you know, to be, I guess, under his thumb a bit more than was the case with the previous regime here. How does that manifest itself? And I know several of you were asking Ben Johnson about that, just what kind of consequences might be in place if guys aren't really following the rules and not, you know, up to the details that he's looking for. But for a first-time head coach who's getting to know this roster and these players, how does a guy like Ben Johnson go about that?
Well, I think the obvious answer is if your cornerback has his back turned and is talking to fans when a Hail Mary starts, then he should probably be punished for that. That's number one. Number two is I think it was really clear, even in the middle of the season before Shane Waldron was fired, that the offense during training camp felt like they weren't held to a high enough standard. And that when there were mistakes, when there were false starts, when there were drops, when their rookie quarterback, you know, wasn't spitting the play out right. You know, whenever these things happened, I think Bears players felt like Waldron said, it's all right, we'll get it next time, instead of, you know, establishing very quickly and very clearly that it was unacceptable. And I think there's a lot of blame there. I think it starts with Waldron, obviously, but Matt Eberflus needs to be somebody who recognizes that in the moment and fixes it. And the fact that players had to come out, you know, in the first month of the regular season and say it out loud to us shows you, I think, the level of frustration they had that things weren't getting better. So I think clarity is really important. You know, I think, you know, discipline is this high-minded word, but I really think what it is clarity and fairness in how you uphold your standard. And Matt Eberflus talked about the standard all the time. I'm not sure that the players felt that he always lived up to enforcing it. I think that comes with it. I also think that just general competence from a coaching standpoint will help earn the respect of players and probably lead to a better behaved locker room. I will tell you, it wasn't a terrible locker room this year. You know, the Bears have a lot of guys who, you know, are pretty professional, especially in the face of, you know, a 10-game losing streak and other bad stuff. But, you know, they need somebody who will hold them on the field to a standard, and hopefully it will lead to some wins.
We'll see. You know, the number of Lions assistants that are joining up with Ben Johnson and going elsewhere, perhaps the Lions are weakened a bit, and the Bears can ascend based off of that, if nothing else. There's a lot that we'll be looking forward to in the weeks to come. Look forward to your continued coverage of it, Patrick.
Hey, thank you so much.
That is Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times. You can find him on social at Patrick Finley. I referenced the interview that was conducted on the Midday Show earlier today with the agent for Ben Johnson, Rick Smith. He was on the show earlier today with Dan and Marshall and Layla. They were peppering him with questions, and it was really a fascinating conversation that they had. We'll give you some of that audio next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can, like, express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Marisa's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
A lot of the fervor and excitement around the Bears hiring the belle of the ball, the most, I suppose, the most acclaimed first-time head coach offensive mind in the sport, most acclaimed OC in the sport over the last couple of seasons has been Ben Johnson. Certainly some other head coaches who've been continuing to call plays in recent years who have been getting all kinds of acclaim for their work on offense. But what's unique about Ben Johnson is that you can trace some of these other acclaimed guys to Sean McVay, as Sean McVay has continued to be excellent. You can trace them to Kyle Shanahan, as Kyle Shanahan has continued to be excellent. But Ben Johnson, not a part of either one of those, you know, both guys are still fairly young, but they've got coaching trees, you know, who've been sort of nurtured under their wizardry on offense and come from their system. Ben Johnson's kind of his own guy in that regard. He's certainly been influenced by a number of coaches over the years, but as far as these hot young offensive minds in the sport, he is not from either of those trees. But that ain't all bad, and he certainly has been willing and able to observe those outside of his scope of interaction and learn from them. And one of the things that I love most about Ben Johnson's offensive approach is one of the things I love most about many of the other names that I tend to mention on this station and on other platforms, for his willingness to take things off the plate of the quarterback, not mentally, but just in the need for the quarterback to execute the passing game from the pocket with volume. You see a great balance run to pass. You see a lot of ability to have eye candy that keeps the defense off balance with both the run game and the pass game. And it just has a really creative look to it that tests the eye discipline of the defense. And so, as opposed to just, hey, QB, got back, read the field, put it on the money on time, and doing that consistently, he allows some things to make for easy reads from the QB. And I love that. Bears love him too. Bears fans have loved him as well. But his agent, Rick Smith, has been on the job for a little while here, specific to trying to get his client, Ben Johnson, the best opportunity that's been there. And Rick Smith's been making a few headlines because he's been fairly transparent about his role in the process, how that process has played out with the Chicago Bears. And he was on the Midday Show earlier today talking to Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris, and Layla Rahimi about some of these things that led to Ben Johnson becoming the Bears head coach. So we'll run some of that back for you here. Let's start with just the process itself and the way that Rick Smith, longtime both player and coach agent in the NFL, the way he describes the interview process that was taken about with the Bears.
This was the best process I've seen in a heck of a long time from any team in the National Football League.
Wow.
How about
All right?
it? How about and it?
Because they were, here's what they did, you know, And that meeting between Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, that one-on-one was so important because they had to come out feeling good about each other, and giving them that forum to do it under NFL rules where you can only do it virtually was absolutely fantastic. And it's the only team that does something like that. Then they moved into their group process, and that group was very small. It was George McCaskey, it was Kevin Warren, it was Ted Cruz, It was Ryan Poles and it was Jeff King. That's it.
Oh, so Liz Geist wasn't on that initial interview.
Who?
Liz Geist, the HR?
She's in HR, yeah.
Oh, Liz. Yeah, Liz was there, but
she wasn't saying anything. I got you.
She was there, but that was it, man. It was football. Everything was about football. You know, they didn't ask him, you know, if you were a tree in the forest, what tree would you be and why?
This was not the combine, you know? Is what you're saying?
No, they just talked ball, man, and vision and alignment. And then it concluded with a one-on-one with George and Kevin. So that there was that same comfort, you know, can they get comfortable with each other, et cetera. And that was it. It was 3 hours long and they were sold. You know, you had me at hello.
And yeah, I mean, they had me at hello. Might be a bit of an oversimplification in the midst of a 3 hour interview, but these teams, these coaches, these agents, folks around the National Football League and in these organizations, they do constantly talk about the opportunities that are likely to come available. And especially in a situation like the Bears were in, an opportunity that truly did come available during the season. And so everyone around these scenarios starts to evaluate what will and what won't make sense. And so by the time Ben Johnson gets to that initial interview with the Bears, there's already been a bunch of background work that's been done to really have a sense for if there's true interest here. And the Bears, of course, were doing the same on their end. So you're trying to set up an opportunity to be able to hit the ground running with some of the top candidates who you'll be giving the most consideration to. That's a part of why, you know, the Bears did look to talk to Mike McCarthy. I've been, you know, from my understanding, from folks I've communicated with around the situation, Mike McCarthy would have been the next option the Bears would have strongly considered and pursued if they weren't able to make it happen with Ben Johnson. They did make it happen with Ben Johnson very quickly after the Lions season ended, more quickly and abruptly than folks anticipated it was going to. So credit to the Bears, credit to Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, and George McCaskey for making that happen and having themselves in a position to pounce when that opportunity came from the Lions season coming to a close. But it does take two to tango. One of the things that was out there was whether or not Ben Johnson would be in a position to desire the Bears. And so that was one of the questions that came up today with his agent, Rick Smith, as well. What exactly was Ben Johnson asking for?
I can't really disclose these specific questions, but for Ben, as I stated over and over again, it was alignment and a recognition of the organization that previous dysfunction was going to walk out the door. And so the questions I asked were, you know, very direct in the sense that, you know, are you married to this roster? If it doesn't fit Ben's vision, are you willing to move on from certain guys, no matter how much you like or dislike them? You know, do you have your house in order? What have you learned from the last 3 years? Things like that. And I got very honest, transparent answers to the point where I was extremely comfortable that there was recognition and a willingness to, I guess, move into the 2025 world and start building a champion.
That's what everybody's hoping for. See what you can do to go about building that champion.
He got pretty specific there with the questions that he asked.
Yeah.
After saying, I can't get into specific questions.
Right. Not going to get into specifics, but here's a few specifics about what we were looking for. So, yeah, there was some transparency that was there from Rick Smith in describing things. And he seemed very bullish on the Bears. Ben Johnson has certainly sounded very bullish on the Bears. And George McCaskey, when he was talking to the media after they had the press conference making the official announcement of Ben Johnson, said, first thing Ben Johnson said to them was, I want this job. Then the last thing Ben Johnson said to them in the interview process was, did I mention I want this job? So both sides really seem to express a very deep and urgent desire to get this figured out, to work together for the situation the Bears are in that was appealing to Ben Johnson, and certainly for where Ben Johnson's resume was that made him passionate about working with the Bears. That would indicate that the Bears were able to make their job desirable. How have they gone about that? Some of that is the process over the last couple of seasons in bolstering the roster, in acquiring young and veteran talent, but also having some flexibility with cap space and draft capital available that can make this roster, this situation, desirable to a head coach. Ryan Poles deserves a lot of credit for that. But then how you go about presenting that and recruiting the candidates who you're going to go about this process with, that's where Kevin Warren comes into this thing. And Rick Smith spoke specifically about how Kevin Warren has gone about modernizing the Chicago Bears.
The Bears, prior to Kevin Warren, was really a mom-and-pop shop. The same people had been there for 100 years. And they got comfortable in the way they did business. And it worked for them, but it was difficult for them to keep up with how things around the league were working. And then when Kevin came in, who had been in two different NFL organizations for a significant period of time, then with the Big Ten Conference, I think he was able to kind of explain to them and show them, you know, how a building is structured, how a front office is structured, what it takes to attract top talent, both financially, but more importantly, just otherwise. And Kevin's work in that regard really came out quickly to me that, man, he really has worked hard and spent all that time after Coach Eberflus was fired, basically explaining to them that, you know, if we want the best, we better act like the best and present a case that shows it's more than words, that there's actually going to be action. And Kevin did a great job with that. Ryan did a great job with that and got Ben comfortable right away. Got me comfortable. I was probably the bigger critic because, like you said, I've been around for a long time. I've dealt with, I mean, I started way back in the Mark Hatley days, you know, working with the Bears organization. I was a player agent for 25 years. And so I've seen it all. And I was really pleasantly surprised.
It's nice for a guy like Rick Smith, as much as he's been around the block, to be able to be pleasantly surprised by operations with a team that, of course, has the existing and original ownership from well over 100 years ago. And the idea that the Bears have gone about modernizing in the way that Kevin Warren has led some of that modernization has impressed a guy like Rick Smith to the extent that he's been willing to go public with some of those sentiments. One of the other things he was asked about, though, was the fact that there have been these storylines about former Bears great defensive lineman Trace Armstrong, who's now been one of the top agents in the business over the years, and his influence on the Bears. And some of the things that have really been concerning is the fact that he's influenced hires that haven't worked out. Now, I think if Ryan Poles had shown himself as one of the top general managers in the sport over the last few seasons, and if things had worked out with other Trace Armstrong clients like Shane Waldron and like Matt Eberflus, then there wouldn't be as much concern over it. But when it feels like you've got one individual agent who's not supposed to be directly involved in team operations, but then it just comes off looking like the team doesn't know what else to do, so let's just go with this trusted source who happens to represent all these clients and just be fed by Trace Armstrong over and over again, and it's just leading to all these losses, then there's understandable concern associated with that. If it was leading to a bunch of wins, then it wouldn't feel like it's this grave thing that matters quite as much, even though the process would be exactly the same. But if the process were leading to positive ends for the Bears, then it would feel better. It does not, because it's led to so many losses in recent years for some of these hires that Trace Armstrong was directly involved with. So they asked Rick Smith. He's been an agent. He's been at this for a long time. Will the process become more transparent?
No. Unfortunately, no. I'm different. I've been doing this a long time. And I don't understand this, you know, secrecy, curtains, controlling a building, putting a staff together. That's not our role. I mean, our role is to gather information, use the experience you have, the credibility you hope you've developed through the years, and be able to vet this like nobody else can, in a way that is respectful, professional, and doing right by your client. And once you get all that information, you have to then present it to your client and let him make the decision, not making the decision for him. And once he makes that decision, then if you're a coach with choices, and guys, there isn't a lot of coaches out there who have choices, believe me.
And that is a key element of the way that Rick Smith was describing things there on the midday show, that Ben Johnson, over the last two seasons, frankly, has had a number of different options around the NFL. And in this cycle, he chose the Chicago Bears. It was one of the last things they addressed with Rick Smith, just following up on the idea that Ben Johnson did have a wide variety of options.
There's a lot of guys who have very short windows, will take any job that's offered to them, no matter what's going on. And it's just a matter of trying to get that job. But Ben, who had choices, you know, it was getting in there and vetting it with each team. And when then once he said that, you know, go try to get a deal done with the Bears, my style is always, it's not to get three offers and start leveraging teams against each other. You know where the numbers are going to come. You know what the right deal is. And you go to the first team and said, you got a shot. Let's go. And I'm going to give you a short window to get it done. And then you find out, you know, are they really willing to step up? Do they have that conviction for the guy? Is he going to have the runway he needs to be successful? That tells a lot. And the Bears stepped up, and we got it done in half a day.
I know I can sense, and I'm starting to hear from, and I see it out there, that there are a number of folks who pretty quickly begin to get uncomfortable with the constant praising of an organization that's lost as much, as often, as consistently as the Bears have lost games in recent years here. But as you know, they have gotten all kinds of shade heaped on them over the last few years as they've done all this losing, especially this past season. But with that being said, at the moment, for the way this process played out, to get the hottest coach in the game, now Ben Johnson's wearing their chain, they deserve some flowers. They deserve some love for how this played out. They got the guy. Doesn't guarantee him a damn thing from a win-loss perspective, but they went about going to get the guy that everyone wanted. They vetted candidates. They paid the money. And now they're at least in position to have success. We'll see whether or not this leads to that success. But the agent of Ben Johnson, Rick Smith, just detailing and describing how this felt different from the Bears. I did find that to be a pretty fascinating conversation they had with him on the midday show. You might be fascinated as well. How would you and three friends like to go to Vegas for the first weekend of the tournament in March? The Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest is easy to enter. Just download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the score each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry for a chance to win this unforgettable trip for four, including travel accommodations, $5,000 for each guest for the ultimate viewing experience in Vegas, and much more. Sounds like a good time to me. I don't know about you. When we come back, we started getting into the Bears coaching staff a bit earlier, and specifically, you know, where things sit with Dennis Allen. I know him from back in the day and around the way. Declan Doyle, got a couple of Hawkeyes on the show here who can describe that. Richard Hightower. We'll continue to evaluate where things sit with this Bears coaching staff. Myself, Alex Kuhn, we'll get into that next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Door. Anthony Heron with you on a Tuesday night on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We know some of the other coaches that haven't been officially announced by the Bears yet. The bane of my existence, Antoine Randall-El. Chased him around in what was known as the old Sika West Conference. Many moons ago, while I was at Bolingbrook High School, he was at Thornton playing quarterback. And chasing him around there in high school, then chasing him around in college while he was at Indiana and I'm in Iowa, doing everything I could to squash him. But to no avail, he was very difficult to squash because you just couldn't get your hands on him that effectively. So he's going to be the wide receiver coach, assistant head coach. We know Al Harris. Going to be helping coach the secondary. So some of the other assistants that are there, but we know the coordinators were officially announced today. One of those individuals, a fellow Hawkeye, as are myself and Alex Kuhn. So I was talking a little bit about just what I have gleaned from folks about Declan Doyle a bit earlier in the show. But I wanted to come around to you, Alex, and give you a little bit of an opportunity because I know a Hawk or two in your Iowa travels as well. And you're much younger than me, so there's a chance you'll have folks who have interacted more directly with Declan Doyle from back in his Iowa days, because when I was roaming around campus interacting with Declan Doyle, he couldn't even drive yet, let alone be an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Have you been doing any Declan Doyle digging?
I have. And I actually found somebody who worked with him at a restaurant that he worked at in high school and college, Coach's Corner, I'm not sure, over there on the west side by Iowa City West High School, who all say that he was a very good guy and fun to work with and just a good kid all around. And I also chatted with someone who was a student assistant with him at Iowa 6 years ago.
6 years ago?
Student assistant to offensive coordinator in the NFL in 6 years. This guy says he's very good with X's and O's and got along well with the players. Players liked him. Didn't get a whole lot of information, but like you said, when you hear enough people digging and hearing the same thing, he's a good guy and smart and detail-oriented, you start to get the picture.
And doesn't mind the occasional sleepless night, which is apparently a prerequisite to be the Bears offensive coordinator when Ben Johnson is the head coach. So that is he seems to meet a lot of the requisite requirements to be on Ben Johnson's staff as the offensive coordinator. All right, well, yeah, so you've heard it from a couple of Hawkeyes here, just a bit of the background digging and resume of Declan Doyle. We'll get back to some more Bears conversation later on in the show, but transition to the Bulls, because we've got the NBA trade deadline that's going to be coming up in just a few days from now, a week from Thursday, and at the moment, no splash trades from the Bulls as of yet. Let's get into the Bulls brain of Cody Westerlund and get a sense for what's going to be happening over at the UC, especially with some of the biggest names there who have frankly been, for the most part, playing some decent basketball this season for the Bulls. We'll do that next on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.